All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll call the meeting to order, and I understand we do have the Treasurer and the Secretary of State both on.
I'm here.
Hello.
All right. And then we've got Jonathan, I heard him, and Vicki, and who else present at the...
Rich Schneider is on as well.
Okay.
This is Tom. I'm on as well.
Okay. Great. So our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from the March 1 board meeting. They were sent around with the board packet as usual. I'll make a motion to approve.
As I remember, so I'll move we adopt them.
Okay. I'll second that. Any discussion? Then all in favor, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Aye, Brad. Okay. Then we're on to this month's loans, and we have four of them for just over $1 million. Jonathan, are these approved for proper public purpose?
Yes, they are. In that case, I would make a motion to approve the four loans.
I will second that. Any discussion regarding the loans? Okay. Then all in favor, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
This is Matt. I vote no.
Okay. Then they are approved, and we've recorded the votes. We had, then for item number four, we had an agency expense over $5,000 for us to report out to the rest of the board. I did approve this. This is the annual software license fee for our GIS software, $10,900. It's actually, do I remember right that we actually had to pay DOA that they'd already paid this, or
did we pay it directly?
Did we pay it directly?
Yeah, it was negotiated by DOA.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is Doug. I don't object to this, but I kind of forget what it is. How do we use GIS software for what part of our work?
Mike's here. You want to answer that, Mike?
The GIS software is used to manage all of our property, to do any of our mapping. Anytime we get requests from users about where we own something, we also publish maps on the web for like deer hunting season and other public access.
So it's used a little bit or extensively?
A little bit down here, fairly extensively up north.
Okay. Thank you.
One recent use, Doug, this is Jonathan, is I've asked Mike in combination with Randy to go through and kind of catalog or categorize some of our parcels for possible sale and to identify barriers to that sale. And I'll report on one or two of those in my section.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. This was approved. We can anticipate that next year we'll be paying this software license fee again. So if anyone has concerns about whether we ought to do that, let me know, and we can have further discussion today since it is on the agenda, or we can bring it up again in the future.
No, I'm okay with it. It's part of our work, and I trust the staff to be doing it properly.
As I understand this is the way that that land is mapped and managed these days. Is that
correct?
You do it somehow? Yeah. Okay, I would say I think it's probably especially important with an organization like ours that has land that's so scattered around the northern part of the state. Okay, there was no old business or new business on the agenda for today. Anyone have any future agenda items you want to discuss at this time? And then otherwise, we can move to Jonathan's report.
I have three or four things I'd like to just call your attention to. Speaking of this GIS mapping, DNR is in the middle of phase two of sale of land, and they kind of published their parcels that they're going to sell at their last board meeting. I believe it was February 24th or 25th. and I asked Mike if he wouldn't review the land that DNR was proposing for sale for any possible conflicts with our holdings. And not surprisingly, we found a few. And as a result of that, and I'll describe them, but as a result of that, I asked for a meeting with Deputy Secretary Kurt Thede at DNR, along with the Division Administrator Sanjay Olson. And Mike and I went over there because Tom's, you know, having a well-deserved short vacation. So we went over there, I think it was last week, Friday?
Thursday.
And met with them. And we had identified five parcels that we thought that they really needed to pay attention to. And I'll describe them briefly. But overall, what we also offered is that we would like to be involved in their land sale or any of their processes like this at an earlier date, so that they could avoid some of these issues that we identified. The first one is that they have a parcel that they're offering for sale in, I forget which county that's in right now, and it's the Oneida County, several 40s, and we informed them, we asked them if they were aware that we had a permanent timber easement on the land they were attempting to sell. And they were a little confused. I don't think they knew that. So if they were trying to sell land that we have a permanent timber easement, in other words, all timber rights on it, they probably want to inform the potential buyer of that. Additionally, there's some land that, that's the issue there. Additionally, there's some land adjacent to all of that that has permanent timber easements that we hold.
Just an interruption question. I remember sort of when we got those. But my question is, would there be any argument that we should just go ahead and buy those parcels?
Well, you know, it's the old story. If you get to milk the cow without buying it, why in the world would you buy it?
See, I see.
You know, because we've got the rights to timber sale on that. And I think we suggested that maybe we would be interested in extending the timber easement a little bit further, which would enlarge our adjacent 500-acre tract at Woodboro. So they were appreciative that we brought that up to them.
So there's no way those parcels will sell.
Well, maybe they would like to buy the timber easements back from us because, you know, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our fund. So I would be hesitant to say we would just give it back to them.
No way.
Without a little more research. We'll see about that. We might consider buying the land, but it would be at a sharply reduced value if we already own the timber rights.
I agree, and your point is good. As long as that we can keep harvesting timber perpetuity and let them own the land, that's fine.
Yeah. The second parcel is in Vilas County, and again, this GIS helped us identify it. And it turns out that DNR is trying to sell a small parcel, relatively small parcel, that we own. And it's we own everything to the east of this place called Petticoat Road near Peshtigo. I believe that's near Peshtigo, isn't it? And they were unaware of that, so they're going to adjust their sale maps not to sell our land. In Oneida County, there's a parcel, there's only three more, but they're all of somewhat of interest because they're illustrative of the issues that we identified that would make it, I think, useful for us to be communicating with them. And here they're proposing to sell some land in the town of Cassium, in Oneida County. And if they sell the land that they're suggesting to sell, we'll lose all access to our property that's immediately adjacent. And so we talked to them about could we negotiate, if they sell this land, an easement across it, even if it's just, well, we would prefer a permanent easement because then if we wanted to sell our three quarters, our 340s, we would be better able to do so. But the easement to get into it is kind of a longish one. It's a slim
possibility. Jonathan, this is Matt. Just on that question, if we have land that's directly adjacent, couldn't we tell the DNR to try to package it as, whoever's going to, if they're going to put it for sale, try to buy ours with it, if that needs to be accessed anyways?
You know, Matt, that's a good idea. I'll bring that up immediately with them. We didn't discuss that.
It might make the land a little more valuable for the buyer, too.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea at all. The the reason we met was to ask for a subsequent meeting to get into the weeds about this stuff, and also to be included in meetings in the future so that they don't get this far down the road with errors like this or impediments to us. So that's a good idea. I'll follow up on it, Matt.
And just to the point Doug was making about the land that we have the timber rights to, I would think that we could sell those easement rights to the prospective buyer. Obviously, we got to make money for our beneficiaries. Or, I mean, if the land is basically worthless without those easements, I'm assuming we can't give our stuff away, but maybe the DNR could give the land to us then.
We did discuss that with them.
Okay.
That's on the table.
Following up on that, what are those timber rights worth? Do we have a logical way of assessing that question?
Yeah, I mean, you'd need to do a timber assessment of the actual timber on the property and then make an evaluation as to the value. And that's doable. You know, obviously, I'm not advocating spending any money right now until we kind of get to the bottom of what DNR's actual desires are. A real simple thing would be for them to give us an easement, but it's not simple for them. Anyhow. Another parcel is on is in Oneida County, Pier Lake in the Willow Flowage area, and this is a parcel that we might be interested in acquiring. Again, that needs quite an evaluation because it's adjacent to our 2,000-acre Pier Lake tract, and they're desirous of selling. I mean, how many quarters are they going to sell there? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven quarters. And it's north and immediately adjacent to all of our holdings and their holding. If they sell it, we would lose our access to our property. This is the one piece that we definitely need to get an easement on because it become very difficult for us to get to a rather large holding we have. I think that's the 2,000-acre parcel, isn't it? We do have other access to it way down south, but it's a very dense wooded area. It would be very, very expensive to access the northern parts of our lands.
Here's a crazy question. It looks, from what I've been listening, and I'm going to be ignorant because I'm far away from all this, and I haven't seen maps or anything.
I'll be glad to send you the maps and to all of you if you're interested.
Don't need that. I just have a crazy question. Maybe not crazy. It sounded like a little bit ago, I think this was Matt's idea, that there's some of our land that it would be good to include in their sale. And now we hear that some of their land we would like to have. How about doing a quick trade with them about, because those can happen quickly.
Well, that's exactly where we're headed, is that I really don't want to spend money. I don't think any of us do unless it's essential. But I talked with Sanjay today, Olson, and he's informed Doug Haig, their real estate guy, and he's putting together a group to meet with us in the very near future, like within a week. And then we'll get into the details and the weeds of this.
So we could do, my idea is not crazy, we could trade and then end up with us having what we want and they'd have what they're selling.
Well, yes, although we're prescribed, we have to sell of equal value. I mean, if we're swapping something, we have to assess it or appraise it and swap things of equal value. That makes it a little more complicated, but it's doable.
It has to be equal, whether there can be some cash on one side or the other?
Yes, there can. The big problem with DNR is they have to sell 10,000 acres of land. So an exchange for them right now doesn't help them get to that 10,000 acres that they are required to sell by the legislature.
Crazy. Okay.
And I don't know, a good question is, if we were to somehow purchase a piece of their land that they're wanting to sell, does that qualify for the 10,000 acres if it's retained in public ownership? I don't know the answer to that yet. That's a topic of on our agenda coming up.
Good job.
So, well, I got one more little parcel, I guess it's not all that little. DNR wants to sell about 50 acres of land that's immediately adjacent to 240s of ours, and in the sale of that land, we would lose entire access to our property. And so, but in this case, getting an easement is not very deep. It would be pretty easy to do. And so we're not particularly interested in acquiring the parcel unless that's the best option. So We've got 80 acres that we would be blocked from access to if they sell this land.
If we get easements, do we have to pay DNR for those easements?
Sometimes, yes. It depends on the nature of the easement. Well, if it's a permanent easement, which we would tend to advocate, that because then it would enable us to sell it to a private property holder.
Right.
Sure. If it's just a timber easement, that's not so good.
No, I understand. I was thinking of a permanent easement, and I was thinking exactly so that if we had that permanent easement, our land would become more valuable and we could sell it.
So where I'm headed in this, Doug, is not surprisingly, we want to get at the table much earlier in their process so that we can work out some of these things so that when they go to their board, they're proposing kind of a comprehensive approach, sell this, swap this, and ease that kind of thing to meet our needs and for us to meet theirs. We also offered privacy and our ability to get deeper into assessing, title, which in some cases it appears DNR is not too swift at doing. They wanted to know how we did it, and Tom explained to me we have contracts with some title companies up north. Maybe Tom can talk about that.
What we've actually done is gone parcel by parcel by parcel throughout our entire holding. We've ordered letter reports from title companies and then compared those reports against what our records showed to look for any discrepancies so that we're verifying our ownership, and then we're using that ArcGIS software to verify that we have access. And so what we're trying to do is really check to see, do we have merchantable title and do we have access that we can sell, so that it makes it a much cleaner process than when we come to making a decision on whether to sell or hold.
And brings up a point I want to make, is that what Tom has set in motion, or what you guys have before I got here, is altogether better, because you have very low-cost contracts with title companies to do a quick title search. And if a problem arises, then we can dig deeper with Randy's help. And the last thing we want to do is offer DNR that will dig deep into everything without them doing their preliminary work through local title companies, because it would just be a bunch of work for us to start from scratch. They need to spend a little money on their title companies up north in their areas. But it's not very much money. What does it cost, Tom? $20-$30 sometimes?
Actually, all those letter report fees are negotiated with the different title companies, and so they range from anywhere from around $20 a parcel to $100, depending upon how many we have in that area.
Okay, well, moving on, I got one other thing. Again, GIS came in handy on this. And that is, we identified that we own 40 acres of land immediately adjacent to Volk Field. It's not only adjacent to Volk Field, but Volk Field, the Department of Military Affairs, have already fenced it and assume they own it. And they have a basis for assuming they own it, because way back when, I think it was 100 years ago, the legislature gave it to them, only later to be overturned by a Supreme Court decision saying that was an unconstitutional act on the part of the legislature, so we got it back.
Remind me, that's in Kenosha County?
I think it's in
Juneau County.
Juneau County.
Juneau County, okay.
You go by those sandstone rocks up near Volk Field on the interstate towards Eau Claire or La Crosse?
Fort McCoy.
Who uses that airfield?
The Department of Military Affairs and the National Guard uses the airfield.
So the rest of the land, which is not ours, is owned by the U.S. government?
The rest of the land is owned by the Department of Military Affairs here in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And this parcel is not essential to their operations. On the other hand, I got their attention when I told them that we were charged by the legislature to consolidate our land holdings, and I was prepared, we were prepared to advertise it to adjacent landowners for sale. And but we thought it would be good to contact them first. Well, they got back to me within 24 hours saying they were very interested and that they were doing their internal review. I think we'll end up selling it to them.
Yeah, I think it's probably around $1,000 an acre, right?
I have no idea, Doug. It's scrubby land in Volk Field area. It doesn't have a stick of timber on it. It might have some, it just has scrub on it. I have no idea what value it has.
It has to be evaluated as an airport, and airport's very valuable.
Well, you've got it. At any rate, so
I'm looking out for the school kids.
You betcha. And the last thing I want to report is that Tom and I and Rich met with the two of the leaders of the UW Business School, Brian Helmer and I think it's Mark Reddy. And the meeting proceeded very well. Which one is Tom is going to prepare that document? Is that Brian?
That's Brian.
Yeah. And so we took copious notes. They did too. And Tom and I followed up with a four-page paper that I didn't want to make part of the official record because it's kind of confidential because it relates to our business investment policy, but I will inter-D it to you so you can see the several topics and issues that are in front of us as it relates to developing our business investment policy and our asset allocation models. And at any rate, it's clear to us, and they were eager to help. They viewed it as part of their duty as a outreach at the business school, the Wisconsin IDEA and all that. I think we'll be able to get a really good value out of them. And as soon as we have, as I said last meeting, a little closer to the goal here, they agreed that they would like to come in to meet with the board to discuss the business investment policy, our investment policy. So it was a really good meeting, and I'm really pleased to say that the dean at the business school, furthered it, Francois, and I think we're going to save a boatload of money on what otherwise would be a consultant that SWIB is willing to hire at the drop of a hat for $1 million. We would never consider that, don't misunderstand, but we think we can get this done and have it independent of SWIB so that SWIB could possibly do some investing with us, and maybe then reviewed by a consultant at a teeny-weeny fraction of the cost. So that's the end of my report.
If we want to get really good business information, we should invite Donald Trump to come tell us about it. That's off the record.
Yeah, well, Doug, I wouldn't be able to count on you not getting, feisty.
All right, we done here then?
Yeah, I am.
Yep, that's the end of the agenda. All right, second, and all in favor, aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Matt. Have a good day now.
All right, take care. Bye, everyone.